B-Pod Studios.
Drive home with Felger and Matt this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Tutcher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hedman shoots, blocked up top by Nordstrom. Near point, Braden Point, high slot, Shattenkirk. Near circle, Hedman shoots, they score! Victor Hedman with Patrick Maroon screening out in front. Wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime. And the Lightning down the Bruins in 5 games in the second round.
Well, that one was a tough one to swallow. 98.5 of Sports Hub, it is Tutcher and Rich. Joe Murray, John Wallach, and Billy Jaffe, Bruins analyst for Nesson. And a gentleman who's joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. How you doing, Billy Jaffe? This is all just, you know, this all this build-up and all this time and away from, you know, their pause of the game and then the bubble and now this, and now it's all over. How you doing today?
It's all over. Well, I actually feel a tad bit better this time than I did after last year, after Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. But I'm just trying to find the positives, Rich. Because, yeah, you still feel like crap. I mean, you know, you're sad. This is a whole different feel, though. I mean, this is, you know, coming off of the pause and the whole pandemic and the, just the world in general has a very different feel. But you look at this team and you say, hey, some changes are needed now. It wasn't like they didn't think that something had to happen after last year's Game 7 loss, but it wasn't as dramatic. And it definitely feels like we're in for more of a more than just a little face, you know, a little Botox. This is a full facelift, I think, coming here and there.
So I've heard a lot of people saying that, you know, you got to try to figure a way to start this over. The window is closed. And I just don't know if I agree with that. And I think that if you looked even what happened in the West, this break affected hockey teams more than almost any other sport. Like, you saw just how wacky great teams were all of a sudden mediocre teams. And the Bruins that were an absolute just force before this break come back and they barely compete in this round robin. And then you just saw them what happened in the second round against. Listen, I think that the Lightning's a better team, but still, I don't believe that this is a situation where you just have to scrap it and rebuild and come back again. I still think they've got something there.
Yeah, I'm not saying blow it up. I'm not saying blow it up, but I'm saying it can't just be a little paint job. You know what I mean? You have to. This is actually an opportunity to do something significant, and it doesn't mean blow up, but you have to look at how the team is constructed. And yes, I agree with you. The layoff hurt many teams, but we're focusing on the Bruins here. They need to get bigger on the back end. They have to now. They have to. They have to get bigger to withstand the forecheck of other teams and the big guys coming through. They have to be able to handle the Wells. And they need their mid-six. They need their mid-six to be better up front. And, again, it's not just one player. There has to be a little bit of a creative makeup.
So how do you go about doing that? I mean, we were all kind of taken aback by Doc Emrick's point that Zdeno Chara has probably played his last game. I believe his exact words were likely has played his last game as a Bruin. That takes away a lot of size. And I agree with you, everything you just said, but how do the Bruins go about doing that?
Well, first of all, you know, we were just jumping on the air when NBC was finishing, you know, with Doc Emrick and the boys in the booth. It was, and people, so we heard about that. And I'm like, that's a pretty strong statement. Maybe he knows something the rest of us don't know. Because I haven't heard that. I've actually heard the opposite, that Chara wants to play. And of course he said publicly, you know, that he's going to be open-minded. He's a bright man. In fact, he's a really smart guy, a really thoughtful human being. And I think he wants to play. I do. And I think that there is a role for him, albeit we're seeing it differently, Wallach, you know, Johnny, and we understand that there's a metamorphosis happening. So I think he still plays. All right, with that said, the pandemic is going to affect an awful lot about how the Bruins can do what you asked. How do they make the change? We don't know when it's going to begin. We know that the cap is flat. So you have to be creative trade-wise right now. You're going to have to give up something, maybe one of your RFAs, maybe one of your guys that's got a year left on his deal to continue to add pieces that maybe you didn't think you can get before. You're gonna have to get creative. Look, the Bruins don't have a first round pick this year, but with a creative deal, they could get one. Now, on the other hand, maybe they make a deal with a guy, one of their RFAs, that they can go out and get some size. It's gonna take creativity. And the Bruins, here's the big issue though: they aren't the only team they're gonna have to get creative. So you're gonna have to find partners that are willing to do that.
Are you confident that Tuukka Rask is going to come back next season on his own accord? Like, because, I mean, he's floated it out there that maybe his heart's not into it as much as it used to be. Are you confident he's coming back next year?
On the surface, without having seen Tuukka, talked to Tuukka, I would say I don't know. So I guess I would say no. I'm not as confident in the sense of all right, this is a real lame answer. I could see him coming back and playing for the Bruins. I could see him coming back and playing for another team being traded. By the way, he's got a 15-team trade list. That's his modified no-trade clause on the last year of his deal, so that he could say, hey, these are 15 teams I would go to. And I could see Tuukka walking away, too. I could now. And all of, the last one especially is his right, especially given the scenario that, we were presented with and why he left. But can I sit here emphatically and say, Rich, to say that he will be back? I can't say that. No, I can't right now.
Hey, Billy, I was just going to ask you, Don Sweeney, I've been kind of talking about this week, but he's made some questionable trade moves at the deadline, which, probably could have done a little bit more this year considering what Tampa Bay did. But do you think he's the guy to, kind of bring this all together here? And in your opinion, do you think they should give it one more kick at the can with Rask and bring the whole core back?
No, I don't think they can bring the whole core back. If you're asking me which player that they, move, Joey, it comes down to this deal. Like, what is that deal? I don't think that if you just come back with this entire core without adding significant pieces to it, no, I don't think that you're going to get the result that you want. Can you move a couple of other big pieces? Again, whether it's one of your young RFAs, can you move some of your guys that you've got in your system and build so you've got more youth that you're injecting into the core? I can play fantasy GM here and say, sure, that would be great. I don't think you can accomplish that, though. You with regard to Don Sweeney, he's made some great moves, and he's made some moves that you could say didn't work out. Honestly, Joey, you can say it about any GM out there. I'd give him a lot. I'd give him more pluses, I would, than stuff that have swung and missed. A lot of people out there said using Danton Heinen trade, well, Heinen's not doing anything. He's not doing anything. He was still a versatile Swiss Army type of player, but we all talked about needing to get bigger. So you make a deal, and did it work? Not really. It hasn't worked. No. But am I unhappy that he tried that deal? No, I'm not. I would be probably more disappointed if the Bruins didn't make a deal and at least try at that. There have been some stuff that have been great. I know, I'm not going to go over every deal, but the Coyle trade obviously worked incredibly well. Now, can you figure out another deal? I say absolutely Donnie's the type of guy. But I think he's got to look at the team and say, we now know, you've had smaller defense. We now know that defense, we got to see it bigger. It has to get bigger. And you talk about, Johnny, it was you, Wallach, moving out Chara. Yes, that's a massive size loss, but I don't see him leaving again. But you need to get as big. It's not bigger one player, it's bigger as a group, so you can withstand, you can handle one-offs in the regular season, right? You can handle that. The Bruins couldn't sustain the physical wear down that playoff hockey was, especially the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you don't want to be a one-off team, meaning a regular season team. You'd rather build to the crescendo of being a playoff team where you can withstand the rigors of playoff hockey, and that's where they need to get physically bigger.
And I think you may have just answered my question, Billy. When looking at the roster this offseason, Do the Bruins make specific moves just to beat Tampa Bay, or is it an overall overhaul?
It's not just to beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, though, is their divisional opponent, so that you know that there's a, you know, God willing, in a post-pandemic world, we have normal hockey, and meaning normal scenarios. And if a normal scenario means that there's a great chance that you're going to face Tampa Bay in the first, or we know in the first two rounds, if you're playing the divisional format, then is it specifically to beat Tampa? No, but it's with an understanding that you're going to have to beat a team constructed like Tampa. It's a major reconstruction of the roster to say we don't want to be a team that is just great on the power play and that can win regular season games, where the Bruins scared the hell out of teams in the regular season because of how creative they were and how they could beat you, especially on the power play, and they got phenomenal goaltending. But come playoff time, if you can wear them down and beat them just one more game, then you need them to beat you, a la, again, the Stanley Cup final against St. Louis. St. Louis didn't say we need to beat the Bruins in four in a row, Johnny. They just said we need to beat them four times. That's what we need to do. And that's where that physical presence and the style came into play. That's what the Bruins need, a little more of that type of play in their style now.
Billy, how much of the Bruins' demise do you blame on the curse of Dale Arnold?
Okay. Okay. Every year I get the same question at the end of the season.
And it's always from Rich.
And your silence is saying that you don't want to get the curse stink on you. I've seen how far away you were standing from him at the end of the season.
Yeah, why are you always on the other side of the room from him, Billy?
Curse of COVID, you know.
Oh, all right.
I don't.
That's the excuse this year. All right.
COVID. Yeah. I mean, it just. Listen, you know, when Catherine Tappan was doing the gig, they were winning Stanley Cups left and right. And now that she's gone, the evidence is there, Billy. Don't deny it.
How many Stanley Cups did they go to, though? I mean, hey, they've been to a couple of us. Hey, I think that. I get the funniness of it. I do. I hadn't thought about it until you start asking that question. I'm like, I get the same question every year. And it is a little less funny. But anyways, we'll go on.
Oh, boy.
Because it's becoming real. It's becoming real. Okay. With all that tap dancing, Billy, you just did, you should be on Dancing with the Stars with Carole Baskin.
Well, hey, you know what? That would be... I'm going to be unemployed soon. I'll take it, Rich. You know, that's fine.
Right. Well, no one wants that. And listen, I don't know anything about. I like Dale Arnold when I meet him. I just know that he's cursed this team. All right, so Billy, always good having you on, man. This is going to be a weird off season. I hope they don't get rid of Chara, man. That's just.
I don't.
It's
see
just,
it happening personally. I don't.
Good. Good, good. I hope not. It would just be, as I said, it would feel even weirder than Brady not being here, because you knew kind of you had a year to accept that Brady more than likely wasn't going to be here. Like Chara, that's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. All right.
Rich, the one thing, I'll finish this. Pandemic, when the season begins, I think will impact if he comes back. I that's stuff that, you know, salary cap doesn't control, right? When does hockey come back? I think that will have a big impact. And if it's relatively okay, meaning sooner rather than later, I think he comes back. And I think you should have him and celebrate him for you.
I also think that if it's in the bubble, if it starts off in the bubble, he's not coming back. I just think that's going to be a sign for guys like him saying, dude, I'm not going to do that again. Which is, you know, there's talk that it might. Yeah. So, all right, Billy Jaffe, great talking to you, man. We'll keep in touch with you here in the offseason. All right, Billy.
See you guys.
All right, see you, man.
Well, he really loved that question. He was all in on the Dale question. You had to shut him up. He wouldn't stop talking.
It's because, you know, he knows it's real. Do you have that clip there of Mike? Can you pop that in there? I mean, listen, you can't deny it. It's something that, you know, happens every single year. You think that this is the year that it's going to break it. And, you know, listen, spells, you know, curses are meant to be broken. We know this.
He didn't sound anything like he was upset of you asking that. He took it real calm, too.
Yeah, but he is like me, though. I think that as long as the season starts normally, you're going to have Chara back. But you might not have a cup because we all know.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun. Star of Nessun.
Everything is awesome.
Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold.
Backhander, Kenevich, St. Thomas rebound score.
Joel Ward on the follow-up bid wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
And the Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
Shoots, they score! Victor Hedman wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime.
Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sub. Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hedman shoots, blocked up top by Nordstrom. Near point, Braden Point. High slot, Shattenkirk. Near circle, Hedman shoots, they score. Victor Hedman with Patrick Maroon screening out in front. Wins it 3-2 for the Lightning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum, kick out. Smart. He's due. Three in the air. Got it. Doesn't make one until it matters. Tatum whips the pass out to Marcus Smart. Launches a deep three. Got it again.
And when he gets on the roll, man, he can make some things happen.
Return to Marcus Smart. Oh, not three in a row.
Dude, that's how you bust the bubble.
Marcus Smart, step back, crazy three, and he drills it again to tie the game. You've got to be kidding me with this guy.
No, you're not kidding me. Bubble buster.
Grant Williams to Marcus Smart. Maybe they can. It's three in the air. It's good, and he got fouled.
Man, give me some ketchup, somebody. Somebody just spill it on my hot dog. Marcus Smart. Baby, are you real right now?
Marcus Smart has all 16 Boston points in the quarter.
Oh, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, John Wallach. Man, this team is fun as hell. They have just been everything you've wanted since they've returned to the bubble. And, you know, talking to Mike Gorman and us talking all morning, I mean, the one thing we can agree is that just ever since they've been back, you've seen teams crumble under the pressure of the bubble, or you've seen teams that are haven't been able to keep the continuity of how well they were playing from one
part of the season to the next, the restart. The Milwaukee Bucks being a perfect example of that. I mean, it's almost been beneficial to those guys because you got Kemba Walker back. You were able to. You didn't know if you were going to be able to have him in the playoffs if things continued the way that they did, if you had a normal season. And now this team just continues to play at a higher than expectation level. Sean Grandy, by the way. Sean Grandy, if you don't follow him on Twitter, it's a pretty good follow because he gets some of the strangest, nerdiest stats. But they're always interesting. They might be weird and just like, why would you ever like hunt that stat down?
No, it's not that he hunts it down. I just want to step in here because I've seen him in action. There was one time where I went with Sean on a road trip. It was one of the rare times that Mike Gorman was sick. And we flew out to Milwaukee and Sean went over to TV and I filled in for him doing radio. So we all got on the team plane. It's one road trip I've taken with Sean. Sean has the magic laptop where he keeps all of these statistics and constantly updates them.
Okay.
I've never seen it. That's where it comes from. I mean, there's some basketball reference research in there, but he comes up with these stats because he keeps them. It's amazing.
So John and Joe, a couple of years ago, I think I was just trying to get audio, I went to that Sloan Analytics Conference, which, yeah. If you don't know what that is, it's a bunch of guys that look like Tony Reale in their suits, and they're all like Syracuse grads, probably. Everyone's trying to get into some sort of sports analysis, whether it be, you know, like working on, you know, in broadcasting, but more than anything, they want to be the guy who you know, works with the scouts, the stats guys. Like, they want to be the new up-and-coming guys who know all the programs. It was how to suck the fun out of sports. Let's just boil it all down to just numbers and figures, and that's what these guys do. And they go there to get advice from, you know, the Bill James of the world and all like the guys who, you know, made a huge living with all this. And there was like a conference room, like many of these big expos that they have, where there were guys selling programs that specifically are made to find the most obscure stats and info that you can throw out there. Now, I don't know if Grandy just owns all of them, but I'm assuming that he owns at least a dozen of them. And the stuff he comes up with is ridiculous. This stat, however, is not one of the more ridiculous ones as far as it being obscure, but it is pretty astounding. He said, putting aside the fact that Toronto in its last 18 games is now 0-3 versus Boston and 15-0 versus the rest of the league, try this on. Since a 6-point loss to Miami on August 4th, the Celtics have played 10 games against playoff teams. They're 10-0 with a plus 14.2 scoring differential. They're not just beating good playoff teams. For the most part, they're killing them. And you've seen it ever since they've returned. They've had that. Now, are you padding the stats a little bit by the Sixers being out there? I still think that that was a good series win. I mean, to sweep a team like that, I thought that they were going to win it. Matter of fact, I would have been extremely angry and disappointed if they didn't. But the way that they beat them, I think, said a lot. The 76ers are a bad organization, sure. But they're loaded with talent. And it probably shouldn't have been as lopsided as it was. But you look at just how they've got Toronto's number. And they've had it. Like, this year, didn't they win 3 out of the 4 meetings that they had in the regular season?
Yes.
And I remember a couple of those games were just like, you want to use lopsided.
And not only that, remember Christmas Day, Toronto sprinted out to that massive, what was it, like 17-2 lead, and the Celtics, like, all right, got up off the deck, came back and beat them on Christmas Day. Can I hear that stat again? Because the Celtics lost to Milwaukee in the bubble, and they lost to Miami in the bubble, didn't they?
It says, putting aside the fact that Toronto in its last 18 games is now 0-3 versus Boston and 15-0 versus the rest of the league, try this on. This is where he said it. He goes, since a 6-point loss to Miami on August 4th. So that doesn't include the Bucks one.
That's my fault. Yep.
Yeah, okay. He said, since then, the Celtics have played 10 games against playoff teams. They're 10-0 with a plus 14.2 scoring differential.
Okay.
They
should have beaten Milwaukee that first game.
Five of those are without Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
Man, you're making a good. I'm not. As I said, I didn't think it's a hot take. I just disagree with you. It's a situation where I don't think he's screwing up the chemistry, having more talent.
I figured out. It's interesting. Joe and I talked more about this during the break in calm tones, and I figured out the crux of my problem with Joe's take. Joe says that the Celtics have better chemistry without Hayward, but they still need him to be better. That's my problem.
Yeah, they need him to be. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to Wallach that. And I've already said this. They're going to need
But they have Hayward, better chemistry without him.
Yeah, they have better chemistry without him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the problem
Marcus
I'm Smart, having
the
with this.
Starting five is better than that's, Gordon Hayward.
No, I understand that point, and Mike Gorman agreed with you on that particular point. That, Rich, was the problem I was having with Joe's argument.
It's about making sense sometimes.
And in fairness, I mean, I don't think when he comes back, they're going to put him in the starting lineup, Gordon Hayward.
No,
Gorman said, I
did, and that part of the argument, I was clearly wrong because Gorman agreed with you. But he also agreed with me that they are better with Gordon Hayward than without him.
Listen, we all like Gordon Hayward. He was an all-star player before he came here. He's been hurt so many times. The coach loves him. It's just eye-opening to me how the chemistry is really good that he's not there.
Well, I mean, it is great. I mean, but then again, the chemistry in this team has been great since day one after Kyrie Irving left. It's just he was, man, I don't want to revisit last year because that was a nightmare. But, I mean, just the second that guy left, everything was clicking. And those are the teams that are going to survive this bubble. They're the teams that are surviving this bubble, the ones that seem to have the best chemistry. And you've been seeing it. The Celtics are just they're dialed in. They're absolutely dialed in. And unlike the Bruins that we talked about, where you had a slew of people who were below the expectations that we had from the regular season to the postseason, there are more than enough people on this team that have exceeded our expectations, especially guys like Robert Williams, who you're going to need. Man, how valuable. If he can continue to play at this level, what an asset, man. I mean, think about it. He saved your ass that whole first quarter. On top of that, if you can get Marcus Smart to play at the level he's been playing, and Daniel Tice has been, I mean, you compare his stats to any of the other big men in the league right now and the way that they're playing. Tice has been holding this team together and doing an excellent job. It's almost too good to be true right now, and I'm afraid it's all going to come tumbling down or there's going to be some sort of injury, because I thought that when Gordon Hayward got hurt, things were going to be a little off and lopsided, but man, they just look, they look destined, man. And we'll see how it turns out. I still am not writing off the Bucks. I sure as hell am not writing off Miami. I've been afraid of them the entire season long. They're a team that seems to have the Celtics number, with or without Jimmy Butler, as we've seen. So there you go. I just saw that statistic, and I'm like, that kind of puts things in perspective. Yeah. This is a damn good team, and there's so many heads to this dragon. I mean, you got one guy who doesn't play well, and you've got another dude who's scoring in double digits to pick him up. You saw Kemba Walker at the beginning of the game, obviously struggling, but you knew he was going to come back. Yeah. That's the great thing about this. Your main star doesn't have to have a great game in order for this team to be decorated.
And listen, coaching, again, Nick Nurse, Coach of the Year, won a championship last year. I don't put coaching as a big thing in the NBA when they're star players, but last night I think Brad Stevens outcoached
Nurse. When the teams are even, though, coaching makes all the difference. Yep. Like they are. Yeah,
he should have called timeout, by the way, at the end of the game. That's
totally
a Nick Nurse problem.
We can agree, regardless of how the first two games worked out, these two teams, you look at them on paper, they're pretty much even.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brad Stevens has beaten Nick Nurse twice badly.
Yep.
Yeah, he sure has. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to the stack right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
Let me tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich and John Wallach. You got a sponsor.
Yes, right. I do. The Stack, as it always is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment. No payments and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Well, Patrick Mahomes, just after signing a $503 million extension, ended up proposing to his girlfriend, which I'm sure there will be a prenup, or maybe not. So either way, he made that proposal. And, you know, for everyone who freaked out over Patrick Mahomes getting that amount of money, have you seen what's going on with Lionel Messi? So every time these Forbes richest athlete things come out and you take a look at the list, and you see, even with endorsements and all of that, you know, there's, it's just the top 10 is loaded with F1 guys, like race car drivers and soccer players. And now Lionel Messi is a guy that even people who don't follow soccer, they know who he is. And mostly it's because he has some of the best play-by-play calls of all time from one Ray Hudson.
Thiago. Messi.
Oh.
Messi.
Astonishing, jaw-dropping genius from Lionel. Watch this hesitation right there. Three players inside a telephone box, and he don't care. He emasculates them individually, collectively. He literally disperses his atoms inside of his body on one side of this defender, and then collects them on the other. Magisterial, Lionel. Magnifico. Extraordinario. Barcelona bounce back. Messi leading the way with his brilliant Blaugrana flag. It is on fire, and he sticks it into the heart of Athletic Club.
I mean, there's no one better than Ray Hudson. Like, he's the best that's ever done it. There's no question that he is the all-time greatest. I mean, just, I've heard him say things that were borderline sexual about Lionel Messi there. Now, and of course, he gets very upset when his partner isn't taking things seriously. Like, you
and
know.
That's why you're seeing those beautiful tears of a man whose heart was bursting.
Enrique
Casillas. Will you stop talking about tennis players and stupid Hollywood actors, Phil? It's the gladiators out there, man. Not tennis players. Tom Cruise. Break. If he smelt a soccer jockstrap, he'd fade dead away.
I mean, that's just... I thought that he said if he smelt a soccer jockstrap, he'd faint dead away. But you said he'd... What is he saying, Dan? He'd be dead in a week?
He'd be in bed a week.
He'd be in bed a week.
I thought that's what he said too, Rich. I agree with
your
assessment.
Can we play it again?
No. Yeah, no, it's just a bunch of great Irish yelling.
I'd love if you play it again.
I mean, Ray Hudson is the absolute best. And he's going to be probably fairly happy because it looks like Lionel Messi, according to reports, is going to be playing for another fight. He's like 33 years old, all right? And listen to this deal that he is being offered. Reportedly, City Football Group, which owns Manchester City, they're going to give him $830 million for a five-year deal that has him playing for 3 years in Manchester City, and then for the final 2 years, coming to the MLS, that's right, here in America, to play for New York City FC. But that's not it. So the $830 million is what he's going to be getting for 5 years of playing soccer. But the deal is that he's still got, like, $600 million left, over like $500 million left on his old contract, and this City Football Group is willing to pay him out of it to get him to play for them. So that means they're going to shell out well over $1.5 billion to get 5 years of Lionel Messi.
Jesus God.
I mean, what are we doing? I mean, but God bless him, because, I mean, obviously that means we're going to get a ton more calls like the kind that Ray Hudson would give us. Or how about, you know what? People freak out about him when it's not even in English.
Deco l'envia cap a la dreta per Xavi. Assistència de Xavi, més cap a la dreta per Messi, 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 i menys Messi. Encara Messi, 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 encara
Messi,
Totti, 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 Messi, Totti, Messi, Totti, 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 Messi, Totti, Messi.
It's donkey mess. All of a sudden he's talking about donkey mess. I've always wondered, like, what if these guys are accidentally caught themselves on fire? Nobody would know with as much as they're screaming. I mean, these guys, I got to be honest. I've tried to get into soccer. I've tried to watch. Now, when the Messi's a magician, he is. I mean, the clips that are out there, they're ridiculous, the things that he's done and the things that he does. I mean, there's no question about that. But, man, I'm never watching a game where stuff like that happens, ever. It seems every soccer game I watch is like the ones that the Revolution had during this playoff thing where it was like a nil-nil draw.
Yep.
That's always seems to be the soccer that I end up watching. $830 million for 5 years. God bless that guy. That's like a Stephen A. Smith contract. All right, the Kentucky Derby is this weekend. And Joe Murray, what are we doing? Are we picking the favorites here? How do you bet this thing?
Well, it's all out of whack this year. Obviously, the Kentucky Derby is normally first. And I believe Tis the Law already won the Preakness. So it's Tis the Law or nothing. Now, normally I'm pretty involved. I look at the ponies. But, you know, this year it's all out of whack. A lot of the horses aren't running this year. Some of them got sick at times. Some of the jockeys got sick over time. It's Tis the Law or nothing. But there's a ton of money out here for some long shots. I figure we go over some of the names, right? Honor AP, Authentic, Thousand Words, King Guillermo, New York Traffic, Soleil Volante, Enforceable. Major fit.
Who do I put money on? Who do I put money on here? Because, I mean, Tis the Law is... By the way, Tis the Law apparently got, like, a difficult post-draw. They're going to start at, like, post number 17. So I don't know if that affects things, but I saw that as well. The very little that I pay attention to horse racing, the Kentucky Derby is the one time I spend at least 30 to 45 seconds reading about
it. I have a buddy who loves this race and bets it every year. He's convinced Authentic is going to win. And the one thing is, Authentic is the one horse on the outside of Tis the Law running from the extreme outside, yeah. And that might hurt his chances. But he talked my ear off for 5 minutes. It felt like 50. But for 5 minutes last night, he told me Authentic was going to win the Kentucky Derby. Apparently, the odds are pretty good.
Plus
you're
1,000.
Posting 8-1 odds, yeah. I think, on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, 8-1 plus. But so I've usually hit the trifecta. I at least place three horses on literally every one of these. I think Tis the Law is going to win. I'm going Soleil Volante because I thought that's who would have won last time. But, I mean, it's 2020, right? So we got to go something crazy here.
All right, how about Finnick the Fierce?
Nah, give me Money Moves plus 5,500 right. As a dark horse. Right? I mean,
hang on real quick. There's a nice little... Oh, we've got our... We got ourselves a little Twitter fight between Joe Haggerty and Don Sweeney.
Ooh.
Are we sure? I've seen that. Yeah,
is that
Are we
real
sure
Don,
that's Don Sweeney? I'm not sure that's Don Sweeney.
It's probably not.
No, I don't think that's Don.
Well, I mean, it's...
It's yeah, fun it's, to it's, think it's, of, but yeah, I don't that's think a, that's Don
damn
Sweeney.
Damn it, that sucks.
That's
it's a
not Don
account.
Sweeney. No.
Okay. I mean, and it's followed by a lot of people, but it doesn't mean that it's him.
No,
it's probably
I've been following that, too, with some amusement, but I don't think that's him.
Okay, because the only reason that I would have bought into it is that, you know, Joe Haggerty's had Twitter fights with Brad Marchand before.
Sure.
He's
but that's
he's had
different.
With,
yeah, that's different.
I know, but for a moment I was getting kind of excited. Like, that would have been great.
Wait, I'm sorry, but I just saw this. Maybe Wallach will know this, so maybe this is something we can bet on tonight. The Red Sox are starting a guy named Mike Kickham.
Yes, Mike, and I'm glad you asked that, Joe. I actually know exactly who Mike Kickham is. He has not pitched in the major leagues in 6 years. He pitched in AAA last year, allowed 125 base runners in 86 innings. And he is starting for you against Atlanta tonight.
Oh, I got to get the odds.
What's the bet? How many innings he lasts?
I don't.
How many pitches he throws is probably a better one. I think if maybe he lasts 15 or 20. Mike Kickham. This is. By the way, the Red Sox aren't. You know, they're not. This is not a roster with a payroll of $90 million. This is a roster with a payroll of $190 million. Well, and this idiot is the guy they're pitching tonight.
Did you see... Okay, I admit not to quite understand, and I had to look up what the hell that was going on here. But yesterday, the Red Sox tweeted out a photo of somebody pressing a reset button. And it's... I'm not kidding you. The official Red Sox account... tweeted out a picture of someone setting a reset button, and it said IYKYK, which means if you know, you know.
I know exactly what that means. You know what that means?
What?
They reset the luxury tax. Once the trade deadline passed, that was the official barrier they had to go by in order to justify all the moves they made. Remember, they traded David Price's contract to get themselves under the luxury tax and reset it. That's what that means.
Stop for a second, John, because who are they tweeting that for? Who knows that? What, the regular layman fan's going to see that and think, what does that mean, that the season doesn't mean anything, jackasses? What, are you resetting this, like the team? Because that's what, who the hell knows that that news about the luxury tax? What a just a tone-deaf move by whatever social media department the Red Sox have. Just adding insult to injury for how crap this season has been. They tweet out a picture of somebody pressing a reset, and they expect us to know, oh, it's because of the luxury tax. Who the hell knows
that? No, but now they can spend like there's no tomorrow, Rich. That's what happens over the offseason. Now they can spend like crazy.
I saw that, and I had to look up the if you know, you know thing, and which obviously I don't, YK. So I was trying to figure out what the hell, why would you do that?
Yep.
And then I was just like, okay, they're being dicks right now. And then there was part of me that was like, hang on, maybe I should just stand up and respect the fact that they're saying, yeah, we don't care about this season. But then I was like, who are you tweeting this to? Who's your audience here? It's either people on a cerebral level of comedy, much like myself, or people who know it's the luxury tax, but you're not doing it for the people in between who think that you're being a jackass for calling out your incompetence this season.
As I said, I wish these were normal times and they trotted out this roster for a 162-game season. What would the crowds be like? What would the media coverage be like? What would the questions be in person that people would ask in the clubhouse day after day? This guy Kickham, who hasn't pitched in the majors since 2014, is your starter tonight. Yeah. I would love to hear the questions to Ron Renicki person.
You might as well give me a pass, man. I might as well go for
that. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I'm looking for that tweet. I guess they deleted it, but there's a tweet kind of, I guess, near where it was that said, you ever miss with a tweet? Same. So I'm assuming that they deleted it. And saw that, I don't know, I don't get that at all. I still don't. And if they meant the luxury tax.
Oh, that's that. What else could it have been? That's what they meant.
Hey, Rich, I got one more for you. You might want to cue the Rocky music here. Okay. But Kirk Cousins, talking today to the media regarding COVID-19, his quote, if I die, I die.
Oh, yeah, if he dies, he dies. By the way, one of our listeners said, Rich, as a sports radio guy, thank you, said maybe know about baseball. Anyone that follows the Red Sox would know what that tweet meant. Dude, why should I give a rat's ass about the Red Sox right now? I don't care what goes on with them.
I didn't even know they played last night.
I bet most people don't even know what the score was, who they're playing. The Red Sox are just an afterthought right now. Nobody cares. And you really think that I'm like paying attention to the luxury tax? You know what? Tomorrow morning at 8:25, let's schedule a luxury tax talk. Let's do it. Let's just go for it because that's what the people want. That's what the word on the street is. Everyone's at the bus stop whispering, luxury tax, luxury. Oh, did you hear about the luxury tax? Well, they're pressing the reset button. Nobody knows about that except for John Wallach because he's way smarter than all of us and cares about this team more than any of us do.
I have not watched a game in 3 weeks.
No, that's not true.
True story. We were talking about it this morning before the show. I have not watched a game in
really?
3 weeks.
Really? Doesn't work in New Jersey.
Dude, that's a big deal.
True story.
You lost Wallach.
Yep.
I mean, that boat is sunk. All right, well, Joe Murray, thanks for shaking things up this morning. You kind of peed on the anthill. You shook the wasp's nest. I like that.
By the way, Rich, I have a good long weekend. I know you're not here tomorrow and Friday. Joe and I are here with Mike Lockhart tomorrow, Ted Johnson, and on Friday.
Excellent. That sounds great. Well, listen, you guys have a great time, and I will see you next week. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.